Good to see you guys this morning. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors here at The Gathering, and we're thrilled to have you here today, especially those of you who came for the child dedication this morning, the baby dedication. We're thrilled that you're here this morning as well. We are in the middle of a series. Actually, this is the second week of a series that we kicked off last weekend called 40 Days in the Word. And so what I want to challenge you to do real quick is look in your message notes. I mean, look in your program that you got as you came in and pull out the message notes. You should find something in there. Now, those of you who've been coming to The Gathering for a while, you'll see that the message notes are a little longer than usual. So I promise to get you out of here by 2 or 3, and we can go get dinner together afterwards, okay? Now, we're going to go through a good bit of material this morning, a lot of stuff, and we're going to move quickly through it, okay? So y'all keep up with me and take notes. There's going to be some scripture that you will see in your message notes. There's going to be even more on the screens that are not there, but you can write down the references, which I highly encourage you to do, to check out later when you get a chance to actually go through this and maybe digest it a little bit later. But like I said, we're in this series called 40 Days in the Word, and we kicked it off last week. Randy talked about last week 7 reasons that we can know for sure that God's Word is really God's Word. So if you missed that message, I want to encourage you to go to our website, thegatheringthomasville.com, and you can go and listen to that message. It'll bring you up to speed on how we can trust, how we can know for sure that God's Word is truly God's Word. Today, I want to talk some more about the Bible. Obviously, this series focuses on it. And the cool thing about the Bible is that it's living, that it's real, that it is the Word of God, and that it's powerful. There's a supernatural power that the Word of God, that our Bibles have. That's what makes it different from any other book. Sometimes you hear it referred to as the Holy Bible, okay? That's because it's different. It's set apart. It's different than any other book that you may read. And there's a lot of great books out there, but there's nothing like the Bible. It's a totally different thing. The Bible is God-breathed, and it's actually the most powerful thing in the universe. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but the Word of God is the most powerful thing in the universe. If you go all the way back to the very beginning of your Bible and you look at Genesis and the whole creation story, you will see that God spoke, and what happened when He spoke? Anybody know? Anybody know what happened? So God speaks, and things start happening, right? But let there be light, and what happens? There's light. So there's this whole process through creation where we see God building the universe that we're in. Now, for years and years, for hundreds of years, scientists thought that our universe was kind of an eternal thing. It didn't have a beginning. It didn't have an end. It always had been here. But in recent years, even science has come, like Einstein and Stephen Hawking. Did I say it right, David? Thank you, brother. I said it wrong in the first service. He corrected me. So Stephen Hawking is a scientist probably a lot of you've heard of before. But these guys, along with other scientists, have now proven that our universe definitely had a beginning, and it will have an end. Okay, that's something that even scientists recognize today. A lot of them say that the beginning, what do they call the beginning? Some of y'all know, you've heard this. There's a TV show called this now. The Big Bang Theory, okay? And listen, if they want to call it the Big Bang Theory, I don't generally have a problem with that, because behind every Big Bang is a Big Banger, right? And the Big Banger was God's Word, because when He spoke, things happened. And the awesome thing is that we have it here. We have God's Word, and there's power in this book. Check out this verse here. This is the first one, Psalm 33:6. It says, "The Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created." And that's power, right? "He breathed the words and all the stars were born." That's power. And God left His Word for us. He didn't want us to just flounder around in this life and not know Him and not know what His will is and what He's all about and why we're here. He left us His Word so we could know Him. See, it's not just about creation, but it's about life. It's about our lives. It's about the life. If you look through the gospel and you see Jesus working the miracles, Jesus would speak and amazing things would happen, didn't they? Supernatural things happened when Jesus spoke. Miracles took place. Lives were changed. He even rose people from the dead. Now, that's power. That came from the Word of God. That came from Jesus speaking that word. And listen, you know, a lot of people, they have questions about the miracles, but the beautiful thing about what Jesus did, and if you look through the Gospels, he didn't just perform these miracles behind closed doors, did he? He performed these miracles in front of a few people, in front of tens of people, hundreds of people, thousands of people sometimes. So we're not talking about just these fairy tales and these myths. We're talking about eyewitness accounts of Jesus performing these miracles just by speaking the word of God. Check out this verse from Hebrews 4:12. It says this, "For the word of God is," I want you to circle this. You can circle it in your notes. If you have your Bibles, turn in your Bibles to this. Go ahead and circle it. It's okay to write in your Bible, right? Okay? If you don't think it's okay to write in your Bible, come talk to me later, okay? Write in your Bibles. You can circle this. For the word of God is alive and powerful. Circle that, alive and powerful. Do you believe that this morning? That the word of God is alive and powerful. The Bible goes on, it says, "It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit." Now think about that for a second. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? It goes on, "between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." What is Paul saying here? The word of God has the ability to cut right to the heart of the issue. Whatever we're facing in life, whatever situations we find ourselves in, God's word just has some supernatural power, some ability to get right to the heart of the matter and what we're facing. See, we're not talking about some chainsaw. The word of God is not a hacksaw, okay? The word of God is like a surgeon's scalpel, right? It can get down in there and do the very fine details in our life. I love what D.L. Moody said. He was a famous pastor in Chicago 100 years ago. He said, "The Bible was not given to increase our knowledge." Some of us need to hear this morning. The Bible was not given to increase our knowledge. The Bible was given to change our lives. The Bible was given to change our lives. So before we dive in, because we're going to rock through some stuff this morning, I just want to pray, and I want to ask you, if you are willing this morning to hear about how God's word changes our life, because if you're willing to listen and allow the Spirit of God to speak to you this morning, I believe that what you're going to find is that there's a step that you need to take. And I don't know what that step is, but I believe the Spirit of God will speak to you as we go through this. He will speak to me and what step I need to take. So let's just pray and ask Him to do that this morning. Then we're going to dive in and hit the ground running. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for your presence here in this place. And your word says that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you're there also. So we thank you for being here this morning. Lord, we don't want to waste our time for being here this morning. There is a purpose, there is a reason that every person is in this room. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us now with clarity. Lord, that we would be sensitive to your Spirit moving in our life, and that we would be able to discern what step we need to take and what truth we need to apply to our life this morning. So, Father, Lord, I pray that you would speak through me with clarity. And we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, how the Bible changes us. So if you're taking notes, here we go. We're going to rock through these. Number one is it recreates my life. It recreates my life. What in the world does this mean? This means that when your life is falling apart, anybody ever had your life just falling apart, like you're at the end of your rope and you're like, I can't take it anymore? Okay? All of us have been there at some point or another. The Bible has this supernatural ability just to recreate our life when things are falling apart. It gives us a whole nother start. That's what happens at salvation, isn't it? We become a new being. We become a new person at salvation. When we give our life to Christ, that's what takes place. The Bible calls this being born again. You don't just turn over a new leaf, you get a whole new life. Look what it says in James 1:18. It says, "He chose to give us birth through the word of truth." Now, what kind of birth are we talking about here? We're talking about a spiritual birth, being reborn in Christ. It only comes through salvation. Did you know without the word of God, you couldn't be saved? Why is that? There's several reasons, but let me just give you the most obvious and simple one is this. You wouldn't even know who Jesus was, would you? How would we know 2,000 years later if it wasn't for the Word of God that Jesus, there was even somebody named Jesus and what he did for us? We wouldn't even know that thing that God has done for us. So the Word of God is important. It's powerful in our life, and it reveals to us that God wants to do something in our life. One of the things that you hear or you see through Scripture is the Bible often being referred to as seed, like seed being planted in our life. And once it takes root, it begins to grow and bear fruit in our lives. Check out this verse, 1 Peter 1:23. It says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." Again, you can circle living and enduring. This is not just some book, just some regular book. It's living and it's endured. Think about all that the Word of God has endured over the years. Do you think that there's been anybody opposed to this being printed and handed out to everybody? Oh, yeah. You go back and study church history and see what this Bible has endured so that we could have it in our hands today. The people that have died, the martyrs, just so that we could see this Word of God. It will never pass away. It will never go away. It is here forever. Number two is this. This is how the Bible wants to change us. Number one, it recreates our life. But number two, it eradicates my guilt. It gets rid of it. It kills it. It eradicates my guilt. Now, this is a big one. For some of you here today, you really are struggling with this guilt thing, with shame and regrets that you have in your life for things that you've done in the past. And this is a big hang-up that I see happening for a lot of folks. People are stuck with these memories that they just play over and over again, just like a reel in their mind. And either they have resentment towards somebody else who's hurt them, or they just feel guilty because they've hurt somebody else. I don't know if that's describing you this morning, but I want you to know that God does not want you to carry that kind of guilt, that kind of shame. In fact, the Word of God wants to reveal it so that you can deal with it, so that you can move on, so that you can get past it. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Some of you need to hear that verse today and accept it. Look at this next verse, Romans 8, 1. "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Some of you needed to hear that this morning. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy, aren't we? God can forgive us, but we can't forgive ourselves. We just can't get past something. We just can't move on. But what we have to realize is that what Christ did at the cross was he took everything that we've ever done and everything that we ever will do. See, he knew about all that stuff. He knew about all those sins. He knew about the things that guilt that we would carry. And he carried it on himself at the cross so that we wouldn't have to carry it through our lives. Check this verse out. This is Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. "Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Now, who is the church? Who is it? People. Is this building the church? No, this building is not the church. Okay, this is our fifth location as a church in 6 years, I guess. And we'll be moving again, hopefully, at some point. You know, if God continues to grow the church, that will take place. The building is not the church. We are the church. So Christ gave himself for the church. That's us, those who put their faith, their trust in Jesus Christ. If you are a born-again Christian, whatever terminology you want to use, Christ died, he gave himself up for her to do what? To make her holy, to set her apart, to cleanse her by the washing with water through what? Through the Word. See, God's Word gets rid of guilt, shame, the dirt, the grime, the junk in our life. In fact, look at what Jesus tells his disciples. He says, "You are already clean because of what? The Word I have spoken to you." So God wants to recreate our life. He wants to eradicate that guilt. But number three is he wants to activate our faith. Y'all hang with me now. He wants to activate our faith. This is so important because it gives me confidence. I love hearing y'all flip. Now, some of y'all gave you a book for notes today. Most people today are not courageous. They're actually scared to death. And I don't know about you this morning, but what I found is that people are afraid of failure. They're afraid of taking risks. They're afraid of dying. Afraid of a lot of things. I know a lot of people who are walking around with a lot of fear in their life. And so because of that, they don't walk confidently. Having faith in God and that He's sovereign, that He's in control, gives a tremendous amount of courage and power in our life. And we have to understand that that comes from His Word and knowing who He is and what He's done and what He continues to do. Romans 10:17 says this, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word about Christ. Have you ever read in your Bible and come across a verse and you read it and it made you excited? You got to thinking, man, I can do this. I can do this. Or you've been in a Sunday morning service or some other service, or you heard some pastor on the radio or whatever the case may be. You heard the Word of God being taught and you're like, I can do this. And you start getting excited about it and you can't wait to tell somebody, your spouse, your friend. And you just get this activation of faith taking place in your life because that's what God's Word does. See, God's Word is very different than self-help books. Some of us are really into these self-help books. And they got a lot of good advice in these self-help books, okay? Quit being so negative, you know. Well, gee, thanks very much. You know, I didn't know that already, okay? You need to eat more healthy. Well, gee, thanks very much. The problem with self-help books is they don't give you any power to do any of the things. They just tell you what you should be doing. That's different than God's Word. Totally different. See, what we find in God's Word is not just a list of do's and don'ts and how we're supposed to live our life, but we find the power to do those things in our life. The power comes from the Word of God. That's different than any other book. This book is supernatural like that. Now, some of us haven't experienced that power because we haven't been in the book. We haven't been in God's Word. But there are those who are sitting in this room right now that know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? God's Word giving you the strength and the power to do God's will in your life and in your world. I love if you go through the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, I mean, you just see story after story of God just doing this. You know, you think about Moses and who stutters and is scared to death to go in front of Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, and to share the message. No, Pharaoh, you got to let your whole workforce go. You're going to have to let the people of Israel go. Okay, they've been a servitude to you, but you're going to have to let them go. Now, Moses was not thrilled about going and doing this, okay? But it's amazing if you go back through there and just read the story of how God activated his faith by the things that God was speaking to Moses. And he's speaking those same things to you and I today. And then you go to Joshua, who's taking in, going to the promised land and all the doubts that he had, all the things that he was facing. And the power and the strength that he got from God's Word when God would speak to him and encourage him. All of that is available to us today. If we spend time in God's Word, we can't help but have our faith activated. That's how God's Word can change our life. The fourth thing is this, is it stimulates my growth. If you're taking notes, it stimulates my growth. As we experience that faith being activated in our life, we start growing. It's just a natural byproduct. It just happens. That growth starts to take place. Paul he started the church at Ephesus. He's getting ready to leave, and this is what he writes to those people there at that church. He says, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can, you can circle this, build you up and give you an inheritance. You can circle both of those things. Build you up, give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, I want you to imagine for me real quick. Imagine your daddy is Bill Gates. Okay? He's got a couple of dollars, right? Your dad's Bill Gates, and he passes away, and he leaves a will, and you're in the will, and it's time for you to look at the will and see what Daddy Bill has left you. But you decide instead, you're not going to open the will. You're not going to look at, you're not even going to think about the will, and you're just going to go about living your life. Now, what do you call that? Stupid. Okay? You call that dumb. Who in their right mind would do that? But what do? God has more money than Bill Gates. God has more resources than Bill Gates. God has promises to us that give us power and strength far beyond anything that we could have ever experienced being a child of Bill Gates. But we have to tap into that power. How are we going to get that power if we don't open His Word to us, His will to us? This is His letter to us. But so often it's so easy to just take this and throw it on the desk or put it on the shelf and let it collect dust, and then we wonder why there's no power in our life, why we're not growing. We just come to church on Sunday morning and expect the speaker to get up there and in 30 minutes give us everything that we need for our life for that week. It's ridiculous. This is what you need to be into more than hearing me speak. I'm just a man. I mess up. This is the Word of God. This will never mess up. This is never wrong. You're not going to get power from hearing me. You're going to get power from hearing God's Word, getting in God's Word. That's where the growth takes place. That's what happens when God activates that faith in our life. We have to get into God's Word. When we come to know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we're not just a believer. We're a belonger. We have an inheritance. And we learn about that in His Word. How sad is it for us to go through life never reading God's Word, never spending time in it, not knowing the power, the opportunities, the blessings, the benefits that we have as a child of God? That's sad. It's dumb, just to be real honest with you. 2 Timothy 3. I want to share this with you, and this will require some writing down if you want to, these things. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for four things: teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I want to talk about these four things just very quickly. You can jot this down. It will be up on the screen if you so choose. First one is this: teaching. God, what is teaching? What is He talking about? It's when God shows me the path to walk on. That's what teaching is about. So God's Word, it's God-breathed, the Word of God, it's from Him, and it's teaching us what the path is that we need to walk on. Number two is rebuking. Rebuking is when God shows me how I got off the path and now I'm in the ditch. Ever been there? You've strayed a little bit. That rebuking comes. We don't like that. Especially as adults, we don't want to be told that we're wrong. God's Word will tell you you're wrong. Third is correcting. How I get back on the right path for my life. See, it's not just a list of do's or don'ts. It's a list of also, it's more than that. It teaches us how to get back on the right path. And then training is this, is how I stay on the path and don't fall off again into the ditch. He wants to teach us. He wants to rebuke us. He wants to correct us. He wants to train us. That's how God's Word helps me grow. Those things happen when we spend time in His Word. Number five is this: how the Bible changes us is it illuminates my mind. It illuminates my mind. How does it do this? How does God turn the light on in our life? Maybe you've opened the Bible before and you read something and you're like, I have no idea what I just read. I didn't get a thing out of that. Anybody been there before? Okay? It happens. But we shouldn't expect every time we spend time in God's Word that there's just going to be this light switch that takes place. Sometimes it takes time for it to kind of work its way into our life. Let the light kind of dawn slowly in our lives. Psalm 119, 99. By the way, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. It's all about God's Word. Challenge you to take some time to look at it. It says in verse 99, I have more insight than all my teachers. Why? For I meditate on your statutes. Meditate. Now, we're not talking about meditation where you get in the lotus position and contort our body like a pretzel and go om and all that stuff. That's not meditation, biblical meditation. Biblical meditation is focusing our mind on the Word of God. It's focusing in on God. And this week in our community groups, This past week, we talked about biblical meditation. And if you're not in a community group, I want to challenge you to join one. There's one that's happening on Tuesday nights that I would love for you to come and hang out with us here at the Worship Center at 6 o'clock. Just five Tuesday nights, and then we're done. It'll be done before Thanksgiving, okay? Five Tuesday nights. We'd love to have you right up here at the Worship Center. But we've been talking about biblical meditation. As you meditate on the Word of God, something happens. You start to change your perspective. It's not just your perspective anymore. It's God's perspective. And once that happened, God gives you the opportunity to do something else. And this is a challenge. This verse is one of the most challenging verses in the Bible for me specifically. I'll tell you why in just a moment. This is Psalm 119:105. It says, "The Word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path." Now, anybody struggle with this verse? Are there any people out there? Let me tell you why I struggle with this. If you think about a lamp, hold a lamp out, okay? How much light does a lamp give? I mean, really? Not much. Okay? It's not like these lights right here that are blinding me, okay? You're talking about just a little bit of light. So if you're in a pitch black, you're not going to see very far. You're just going to see what? Probably the next couple steps. Well, I'm wired in such a way that I want to know the whole thing. I want to know everything in the room, okay? I want to see the big picture. But the problem is God doesn't promise me that he's going to give me all that. What does he promise right here? He's going to give me the next step. Maybe the next two or three steps. It's a process. And we don't get to see the totality of our life before we have to live it, do we? We have to live it day by day, moment by moment, step by step. And for those of you who are like me who want to control things, who want to know what the next step is, and not just the next step, but the next 50 steps, okay? Putting all that hope and trust in that retirement, okay? All that stuff. One step at a time. The memory verse for this week, I want to share this real quick with you before we move off this point. It says this. This is Psalm 119 again, verse 18. It says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Open my eyes so that I may see wonderful things in your law." That should be a prayer every time we come to God's Word, that we're not reading this like we read the John Grisham novel, but that we're reading this so that God will reveal something to us. And sometimes that takes time. It's not always like a light switch. Sometimes we have to allow the Word of God to kind of marinate in our life and to do its work. Number six is this. It elevates my mood. I love this one. Some of you need this morning. It elevates my mood. How does the Word of God want to change us? How does it change us? Well, another way, number six, is it elevates my mood. And some of you really need a mood elevator right now. You're down in the dumps, you're grumpy, you're having your pity party, and you've only invited yourself. This is one of the reasons that God's Word, one of the things that he wants to do is to encourage us. God's Word is very encouraging. Romans 15:4 says this, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have what? Hope." Some of you guys need hope this morning. Some of the most miserable people I've ever met in my life were at church. Miserable. They probably have forgotten more about the Bible than I will ever know. But they are miserable. Why is that? We're going to see here in just a minute that it's because it has to do with that, not just the knowledge, but doing what God's Word teaches us to do. I want to encourage you to get in God's Word because there's encouragement that can come from that. There's hope that comes from that. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of Christians that live their life with no hope, and I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. The Word of God is meant to give us hope. There are so many scriptures that talk about that. Number seven is this, and this is the most important one to me, is it liberates my potential. It liberates my potential. This is powerful. Only God, your Creator, knows your potential. You don't, your mama don't, your daddy don't, your grandma don't, your boss doesn't. Go back to good grammar. Okay? Nobody knows your potential except for God. But what do we have a tendency to live our life for? The approval of others. We get caught in this trap. Right now, most people live for the expectations of others and the approval of others. And some of us, as I said just a few minutes ago, some of us live with this tape being replayed in our mind of something, some junk that somebody else said in our life that is holding us back from our true potential that God has for us. You're no good. You're never going to amount to anything. You can't do that. You're not smart enough to do that. We have this replay that just goes, y'all know what I'm talking about. All of us experience this. We just hear that thing over and over again. We need to stop that. God's the only one who knows our potential. God's the only one who can speak that truth in our life. And we need to allow Him to do that. He will unlock the potential that you have, but it comes from being in His Word and allowing the Spirit of God to use that to speak in your life. Like John 8:31-32, if you continue in My Word, then you are truly My disciples, and you will know the what? You will know the truth. Don't you want to know the truth? I can't give you the truth. God can give you the truth. It comes from His Word, and the truth will do what? Some of you are in bondage and need to be set free. You came this morning and you've been believing a lie about yourself. And God wants to set you free from that. I don't know what it is. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, somebody said something to you, and your whole life has been about approving that person or meeting that expectation or hitting that lid that they placed on your life that God did not put there. You need to allow God to free you from that this morning. So let me ask you these questions. Would you like to have your life recreated after it fell apart? Would you like to have your guilt eradicated for everything you've ever done wrong? Would you like for your faith to be activated so that you'll have more confidence and courage? Would you like for your growth stimulated so that you will become all that you were meant to be? Would you like for your mind to be illuminated so that you can make wise decisions? Would you like for your mood to be elevated so that you're not down in the dumps all the time? You're not fighting with depression? Or would you like for your potential to be liberated from the expectation and approval of others? If any of that stuff speaks to you, it comes through the Word of God. That's how you can tap in to those truths in your life. Before we wrap up today, I want to give you three things just very quickly. This is kind of the application of this stuff, and I want you to take this very seriously, because you could leave today and heard all this that I said and feel good about it or be mad about it, I don't know, whatever. And then just leave and not be changed at all. Not allow God to do anything in your life. What's it going to take for those things that I just listed, those questions, to actually be true in your world, in your life today? Well, number one is this, is you have to learn it. You have to learn it. This is your responsibility, not mine. I'm not responsible for you learning the Word of God. You're not responsible for me learning the Word of God. That's a personal responsibility that each of us have. Now, we help each other. We get in groups together. We come on Sunday mornings and we're taught this stuff, but that's not the end game. It takes more than that. Look at what Jesus said to the Pharisees of His day. Now, the Pharisees were these religious people that probably knew a lot more of Scripture than anybody else in this room. They were memorizing whole books of the Bible, okay? This is what Jesus tells them. He says, your mistake is that you don't know the Scriptures. Your mistake is that you don't know the Scriptures. What is he saying to these guys? Is he saying that the Scripture they memorized that they don't know? That they somehow have forgotten it? No, he's not talking about that. He's saying you don't know it from this sense. It's not doing anything in your life. You have a head knowledge of it, but it's not penetrating your heart. See, the problem is this, is your problem is not really your problem. See if you can follow this logic. Your problem, whatever it is that you're facing in life, is not really your problem. Your problem is how you are responding to the problem. You can't control the circumstances and the things that happen in your life. You can control how you respond to them. Right? So your problem is not really your problem. Your problem is how you respond to the problem. Now let me ask you this. How are we supposed to know how to respond to the problem? Where does that come from? It comes from the Word of God. How are we going to know how to live our life? How are we going to know how to respond to the problems, to the things that come up against us, if we're not spending time in God's Word? The answer to that question is we're not. We're not going to know. Proverbs 14:12. This is such a powerful verse. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. What's he talking about there? He's saying this. All of us, in any given circumstance, when we're faced with a situation, are going to have a natural inclination to do something a certain way about that situation. And 99.9% of the time is going to be wrong. Have you ever noticed that? That our natural inclination is usually wrong? If somebody hurts us, what's the first thing we want to do? We want to hurt them back. And not just hurt them back the amount they hurt us. No, no, no. It's going to escalate. You come after me, oh, it's on now. That's how people live their life, is it not? You see it at your office, don't you? You see it at school, don't you? I don't care if they say they're a believer or not. You see it, that's how they live their life. That's how we live our life. Let's be honest with each other. Why is that? It's because that's our natural inclination. You hurt me, I hurt you. That's the way this goes. That's wrong. How do we know that's wrong? Only through the Word of God. That's the only way we're going to know how to live our life. If we're just going through, I know a lot of Christians who just go through their life just making decision after decision and dealing with situation after situation, don't spend any time in God's Word, and then they're wondering why their life's falling apart, why they seem to be making all the wrong decisions. Hello? The way we learn to live our life is through God's Word. That's the only way that we can respond the way God wants us to. This is the manual. This is how you do life. We have to spend time in it. So we have to learn it. We have to get in there. We have to learn it. You can't bypass this stage, okay? You got to learn it. You got to get in there. And I know it's tough at times. Number two is this, is we have to accept it as my authority. Accept it as my authority. Listen, let's just be honest again. There are things in the Bible that I don't understand. I mean, there are things I just don't understand. But I've got to accept it, don't I? There are things you don't understand. You just have to accept it. There are things that are in the Bible that I wish weren't there. But I have to accept it. There are things in the Bible that I don't like, but I have to accept it. There are things in the Bible that are inconvenient, aren't there? Those of us without the gift of evangelism, for example, we're supposed to go out in all the world and make disciples. We're supposed to evangelize. How many of you, do that one, like that one, okay? Some of us have the gift of that, but that doesn't exclude all the rest of us who don't have the gift of that from actually doing it, right? God says some things that put us way outside of our comfort zone. I don't like that, but I have to accept it, don't I? All of us have to accept it. Either the Bible is your authority in life or it's not. There's no in between. Me trying to understand all that God is like an ant trying to understand the internet. We're just not going to understand it all, folks. I got questions. I've been in debate with people about those questions. You know why there's still a debate about those questions? Because there's been a debate about those questions for thousands of years. We're not going to know. I'll get to ask Jesus one day. But it maybe not even then will I even understand it and know. It's pretty arrogant for me to say to God that I think I know better than you. And when we don't live our life according to His Word, we don't spend time in it, and we just make decision after decision, circumstance after circumstance. That's what we're telling God is, I think I know better than you. Think of the arrogance of that. I may not like it. I may not agree with it. It may not be popular. It may not be politically correct. It may be hard to do. At times it may seem like it's impossible, but I have to accept it as the right way to do life. There is no other option. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. We've got to believe it for God to do a work in our life. The last thing is this, is act on it. Act on it. Another powerful verse, John 13:17 says, this is Jesus. He says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you what? If you do. Do you get the blessing if you don't do them? No. What is Jesus saying here? It's not enough just to know it. You may be the smartest person in this room right now and the least blessed. That's possible. Because the blessings don't come from knowing. Blessings come from doing. Listen, I grew up in church. I grew up in traditional church. I've been up there. I was the worship. It wasn't the worship. It was, what do they call us? The minister of music. Yeah. I was a minister of music up there directing through the hymns, all that stuff. I love hymns. I'm not hating on that. But I'm telling you, some of these churches that I've been in, it's all about knowledge, 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 knowledge. Ain't nobody doing anything except sitting on their tail. No doing. We just want knowledge, not feed me, feed me, feed me, while I get fatter, fatter, fatter. Just feed me, feed me. I'm not going to exercise. I'm not going to do it. And then I know some of those churches that I've been in. I'm like, they're not blessed. They're not growing. And then they're wondering, what's the deal? We have to do it, folks. You may be here this morning and you say, oh, Michael, this is a great message. Well, if you don't do anything with it, it doesn't count, you know? We have to do it. That's what the Word of God, the purpose of it is to get out there and to do it. We don't get blessed for the parts of the Bible we know. We get blessed for the parts of the Bible we do. So what are you going to do today? My prayer at the beginning, and I'm going to pray here in just a second. My prayer in preparation for today was this, is that God would reveal to you a step to take, just like that lamp. What's your next step? Some of you are our guests today. You came from another church. Go back to that church and take a step, whatever it may be. In your life, in your family, take a step. Gathering Church, it's time for us to take a step. It's time for some of you to step up. If you leave today and there's nothing different this next week from this past week, then why were you here? Why were we here? What are we doing, folks? If we're not changing, if we're not allowing God's Word to change us. My prayer is that as you get into His Word, even more so than you ever have, is that He will reveal steps for you to take and that you will boldly go with confidence in the direction that God is leading you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You this morning for Your Word. I thank You for the opportunity to be able to come and share some this morning. Father, if there's someone here, and I'm pretty confident that there is with the number of people that are here today, if there's somebody here that doesn't know You, that's never given their life to You, I pray that right now, in this moment, that they would recognize that all of us here have been in that spot, that all of us here have sinned, we've all messed up, nobody in here is perfect, everybody realizes that. But the difference that some of us have is that we have recognized that, and we've recognized that there is a God in heaven that loves us, and he sent his son Jesus Christ to this earth to live a perfect, sinless life. And when he died on that cross, he took all of our sins, and he paid the penalty for those sins as he was dying on that cross. And when he rose again 3 days later, that he rose victorious over death, hell, sin, the grave, all of those things that hold us down, that are going to lead ultimately to our destruction. Christ Jesus himself defeated those things. And if we put our full hope and trust in him, nothing else, there's nothing that we can bring to the table that we can add to it. But if we put our hope and trust in him, that we can have eternal life, that we can be recreated, that we can be born again this morning. So, Father, I pray that you would do that now through the power of your Spirit, through the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the power and authority of your word, that people would be saved this morning. If they're here, if you are here this morning, give your life to Christ today. Don't wait. Do it now. There's no magic in any prayer that I could pray. This is something between you and God. You surrender to him now. I want to encourage you to do that. For those of us who are here that do have a relationship with you, Father, forgive us when we take for granted your word to us. Forgive us for just making decisions and living life haphazardly, according to our own thinking, our own ways. And Father, help us to submit to you and to submit to your word, to spend time in it, to know what your will is for our lives, and to take those steps to move in the direction of being in the center of your will. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity that we've had to come together and worship together. Help us to not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers. Lord, we know the blessings don't come from knowing more. The blessings come from doing your word. So, Father, we want to be a blessed people. We want to be a blessed church. Help us to live out what you're teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen.